والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، I have to apologize for coming late today. I've been on the road since about a week, and I just felt to close my eyes a bit and I slept off the time of the class. I beg your pardon. May Allah forgive us all. Secondly, today I had intended that we do a report or a recap, as we promised, of our last class, so that perhaps there are gray areas that require explanation. We should try to give as much as a class like this will permit. The first of what I like to mention, about six issues. The first of what I like to mention is there are two words not correctly pronounced. The first was the reading from Al-Aqidatu Al-Tahawiyya of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. The Imam said, Rahimahullah, وَنُسَنِّي أَحْلَ كِبْلَةٍ. But I was saying, وَنُسَمَّى أَحْلَ كِبْلَةٍ. These are two different forms of reading. نُسَنِّي is the fi'l al-mubari, is the present continuous tense of the word samma. When we have the ayn al-fi'l, that is the ayn, if you say fa'ala, if you have the ayn al-fi'l, this a, you have it mudaf, yarhamukallah. It becomes what? Fa'ala. So this lam changes to either alifun or wawun or ya'un, that they refer to as huruful illako. You see that it will form samma. If you write it samma, it will be fa'ala, but lam changes to harful illa. So the mudari come in the form of yufa'il, so it will be yusammi, usammi, nusammi. So the correct thing is to say wa nusammi ahla qiblatun. We name the people of our qibla. If you say yusamma, that is also fi'l al-mudari of the same, that is present continuous tense of the same verb, but you are talking about in the second person singular form, like saying yusamma. He named, somebody named, something was named, something was named. It was named, not nusamma or yusammi. He named, yusamma, it was named. You know, in it was named, you are not mentioning the actor, the subject of the verb. It is a verb, is a subject verb form. If you say yusammi, he named. When you say yusamma, it was named. So the correct thing is to say wa nusammi ahla qiblatin. We name or we call the people of our qibla muslimin, mu'minin. We call them either Muslim or we call them what? Mu'min. The second thing I like to correct there also is the hadith. He says alayhi salatu wassalam, man rama mu'minan. I say man ra'a. How can ra'a mean rama? Ra'a, who saw. Rama, who accused. Who ruled a Muslim? So there are tasarrubat, sub-kullisan. You want to say something else, but you are saying something else. Even in the English language, you speak every day, it occurs. But I felt to correct it. Perhaps some sick minds will listen to us one day. May Allah protect us. The third thing I'd like to mention is that from that class, we understood the meaning of Ahlul Qibla, the people of the Qibla, Muslims. If they are, the brother I say Muslim living, what do you mean? And we understood that from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, when he says, man salla salatana wa staqbala kiblatana wa akala zabihatana fa huwa al-muslim. Whoever prays as we pray, he faces the Qibla as we face, and he eats the slaughterings of Muslims, says, فَذَٰلِكَ الْمُسْلِمُ. The Prophet said to alayhi salam, said, that is the Muslim. And he says, لَهُ ذِمَّةُ اللَّهِ وَذِمَّةُ رَسُولِهِ. That person has a guarantee from Allah and a guarantee from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the meaning of that guarantee? The guarantee is, we will not call him a non-Muslim. So when he dies, that is, we will not call him a non-Muslim. When we see him, we say taslim to him. When he sneezes and says alhamdulillah, we say yarhamukallah. When he is sick, we visit him. All these rights of Muslims that we owe other Muslims, we owe him too, because he's one of us. And if he dies, we'll bury him in the burial ground of the Muslims, and we'll give him the funeral bath of the Muslims, the funeral prayer of the Muslims. These are the consequences. So, that is the meaning of Zimmatullah. And then his life is safe. Because if it were an Islamic community, the Zimma of Allah is guaranteed. Nobody will touch him, take his life, execute him. The same way, nobody will take his property. Because his property and life, they are sanctified, quote unquote. We are holy. So it must not be taken or what confiscated. So that is a Muslim. Now, when you see a Muslim, oh, you kafir. That kafir is very common now amongst young people. They say, oh, this person, for example, he's not growing a beard, he's a kafir. It is wrong. In fact, these days, people will say somebody eats with spoon is a kafir. We have heard it. When he says assalamu alaikum to them, they say a karo. People will say this because, frankly speaking, sometimes following personal desire, and many of the times because the level of Islamic knowledge is low. And individual emotions do not make legislation. The legislations of the Sharia are not my own emotions. They are not and should not be your own emotions. They should be, and they are, what actually Allah has revealed and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has transmitted. That's why the ulama warned against declaring every person we see commit a mistake as being what, a kafir. In the time of the Messenger alayhi salam, the companion once said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Al-amru ma kama sha'a Allahu wa shi'ita. The matter is as you, as Allah wills and you will. The Messenger asked a question to make us understand that that statement is a statement of shirk, not kufr. Shirk that takes somebody out of Islam in this case. He says, أَتَجْعَلَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدَّةٍ. Are you joining me as an associate, as an equal, need, as an equivalent with Allah? Joining the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as equivalent or equal with Allah, what is it? Yes, the Messenger didn't say you are kafir or mushrik. Even when he uttered a statement of shirk, the Prophet was patient alayhi salam. He says, Kunu ma sha'a Allahu wahdahu. In the riwayah of Al-Imam Ahmad, what you should say alone is masha'Allah, as Allah wills. And in another report, he says, Summa, and then, not and. There are differences between the two. Even in the English lexicon, he added Summa. The Summa would indicate that the first person that was mentioned and the second person, they are not the same. They are not equal at all. So, we are trying to say, even now when a person makes a statement that appears like or that is a statement outrightly of kufur or shirk. Should be patient in terms of declaring people kafir, mushrik, bid'ah, this, that, and labeling the people. That is what Al-Imam Al-Muzani meant to say in Wal-Imsaku an Takfiri Ahli Al-Qibla. The people of Sunnah, you always hold back from saying, you kafir. They hold back. They don't do that always. And with the flimsiest excuse, may Allah protect us from that. That is the second point I like to raise. And we remember regarding that second point, I read a text to us from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he was saying that it is wrong to call just any person who commits a sin or who falls into an innovation, it is wrong to label such persons as people of kufur and shirk who have gone out of Islam. May Allah help us protect our deen. The third point I would like to mention, it says, وَالْبَرَاءَةُ It says, وَالْإِمْسَاقُ وَالْتَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُكُ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ And then we should disconnect from the Muslims. فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ We say إِحْدَاثُ means two things. Go. فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ In the bid'ah that they innovate. If a Muslim comes now and says he wants to bring a sixth Salah, and it will be obligatory like the five daily obligatory prayers. He wants to bring a sixth. When he comes, no matter how long his beard is, no matter how big his turban and his jubba, alukimba that they wear, he says, oh, from tomorrow we will start a sixth prayer. The time between Subh and Zuhr is too long for us not to worship Allah in between the two. So he's introducing three rakats instead of four, so that you not be stressful. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ We will disconnect with him in that he has innovated. وَالْإِمْسَاقُ وَالْتَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ And we will not say you are kafir. We will not join him. I will not declare him to be a kafir. These matters are very, very important, ikhwan. When there was crisis in Kano about 2 weeks ago, we read in the news that somebody said the Muslims in Kano and all over Nigeria should fast for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Say this is bid'ah. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. It's an innovation. Allah has not given it authority. Allah has not approved nor legislated it. So you can ask, so how can we pray against such things? We pray against such things inside legislated and approved acts of worship. Fasting on Monday is approved. When you fast on Monday, pray that Allah protect us from such evil. When you pray, comes to salawat, five daily prayer, beg Allah to protect us from such evil. Not that you start another worship. So to say we should fast Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, it's like starting worship again, and that is ibtida', al-iftira', starting another thing in the religion. So al-insaq wa an-takfiri ahli al-qibla. We will not say they are kafir. We will not say that. Secondly, wal-bara'atu minhum fima ahda. That innovation that they have innovated, we will not join them inside that innovation. What is the evidence that we should not join innovation? We mentioned some verses. We mentioned another verse today. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا Don't join or rely, rukun. Don't incline towards those who are unjust, wrongdoers. What is the wrongdoing here? That innovation that they have innovated. He says, don't do that. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ Otherwise, fire will burn you. Be fire. That is, otherwise I will burn you with the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. Who was Allah warning like this? The Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu. Allah was saying, you and the rest of the Muslims, لا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا. So, don't stay with them when they are doing that innovation. Don't join them to do that innovation. And then, avoid the place where that innovation is done. This is what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah referred to as At-tarku lil-munkarat. At-tarku aw hajru lil-munkarat. Abstaining from munkarat. Distasteful things, abstain from. So, wal-barat minhum fima ahdathu. When a person brings an innovation, we avoid. Then we say the second meaning of al-ihdath in that expression is committing major sins. So وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْ would also mean don't also join sinful people when they are committing their sins. In that case, don't ask me now whether a Muslim can visit a cinema. Can a Muslim visit cinema? Ustaz, is there any hadith that says a Muslim cannot visit cinema? I'll say I don't know. Cinema is not in hadith. So they can go. That's what it is. It's a layman's thinking. But there's general rule in the Sharia not to join the people of sin in the place of sin. Not to join the people of sin in the environment of sin and in committing the sin. There is an Egyptian scholar, or so to speak, writer, Muhammad Ghazali, not the Ghazali that you know. Muhammad Ghazali is a recent person. He died less than 20 years ago. He's an Egyptian also. He's an Egyptian who was a member of this Ikhwan. One of the fatwa he gave was that it is allowed to watch a dancing woman in a cinema. The ulama told him what he's saying is wrong, this, that, that. He now wanted to prove to them that what he's saying is correct. So when women are dancing in cinema, he goes to sit down there. And Allah made him to die in one of those. Ghazali died in a cinema watching a woman dancing. May Allah protect us. So let us be careful about what you say. Let us be careful about what you say. So if you now ask us, Ustaz, what is the evidence that it is wrong? We say, Allah says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ. Don't sit down. Don't be inclined towards the people of sin. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Otherwise, fire will burn you. And we read the verse in Surah Al-An'am where Allah told us that فَلَا تَقْعُدْ مَعَهُمْ. Don't sit down with them and others. So, al-ihdath will mean innovation. Al-ihdath will mean sin. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ. We should disconnect with Ahlul Qibla, the generality of the Muslims. We disconnect with them فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ. In the innovations that they innovate, or in the major things or minor things that we see them committing. From that also is backbiting. Once it starts and says, this is Salabeda, you know as women do. It's common with them. That is what the ulama said. In Al-Hujurat, Allah said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Adi, before that, سُذِيَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَفْكَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ خَيْرٌ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَائِهِ. Ulama say, Allah already said, يَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. All you who believe, لَا يَفْكَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ. Let not a group of you make jest of the other group.
Group A don't guess at the rest of the Muslims. Ha ewa wele ha ha blacky la yashar komu min kawni. Or a woman can say, ha, look at these brothers, look at the Abiyabiya. La yashar komu min kawni.
I had seen and heard of a young boy who was learning how to read Quran. Alhamdulillah, he has finished his hijab now. He was telling his mates who read Quran to him that, haha, look at how they are reading. They don't even sabi the Quran. Fortunately, many of those boys finished the Quran before him. Allah tried him. When he memorizes, he doesn't retain. He was the one jesting at them, but Allah tried him that he found it difficult to retain whatever he memorized. May Allah protect us. La yaskar qawmun min qawmin. Let not a group of you make jest or jest at the other group. You know, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu includes both male and female. Allah now repeated, wala nisa'un min nisa'in. Let not some women jest at the rest of the women. Ulama say, Allah repeated women twice. Once in the general message, and secondly in the specific message, because jesting at one another is common with women. So when the jest starts, when Sister A starts jesting, telling you about Sister B, la tarkanu ila alladhina, avoid, please sister, don't tell me that. Tell me something. Or a brother, this brother, see how he's dealing with his wife, see this, da, don't tell me that. By way of backbiting and slandering the brother, not by way of looking for ways of helping the brother to change his ways. So, وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا. We should avoid the Muslims when they commence an innovation or when they are committing a sin. This is one avoidance. مَا لَمْ يَبْتَدِعُوا ضَلَالًا. As long as they have not started dalala. The question is, what does dalala mean here? That word dalala has many meanings. Al-khata'u, mistake, is dalala. Because the asl of that word dalala is al-udul an tariq al-mustaqim. Once you swerve, you know, when you're going to Lagos, the roads are blocked. Alhamdulillah, they are trying to make 5 lanes at the Las Vegas. The roads are blocked. So some cars will say, especially those ones who really know Lagos very well, they will just branch off and start. That branch off itself is what? Dalala. Because the road is there. When you branch off the road, you have gone. Whenever a person branches off the Sirat Mustaqim, it is dalala. So linguistically, that itself is another aspect of dalala. It happens in Iworo too. If you are going to Lagos, on that Iworo, on Friday, Saturday, and usually from 4:30 p.m. down, every day, the road is blocked. So some people like to say, just go down, one leg on the road, one leg on the sand, and they go. That is also part of dalala. Each time a person goes off, I don't go off. Once you go off, Miss Dalala, stay on the main road. So that I'm making us understand the expert, how wide the usage of that word could be, Dalala. Likewise, a person makes a mistake. And we make the dua, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. What nisyan, forgetfulness, and khata, mistake, they are both dalala. When a person makes a mistake, you can say dalala. That was what Musa did. When Musa alayhi salam hit the man, it was mistake. So that was why he says, فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَا وَعَلَى مِنَ الضَّالِينَ. When I did that, I made a mistake. I did not intentionally hit the man. I was amongst those who erred. I did not intend to kill the man. And that was why, as it happened, he said, this is from the works of Shaitan. So, khata, mistake, can also be referred to as what? Voilà.
Likewise, jahlun, not to know something, ignorance. It is also from the aspect of what?
Dalal.
Likewise, al-fisk, to commit sin. When a person commits sin, because he is going off sirat mustaqim, it is also what?
Dalala.
Aw dalal. Likewise, kufur. When a person commits kufur, he is also going off sirat mustaqim. And that is also what?
Dalala.
It means, whenever we find that word, dalala, we should look for indicators that will make us understand what do they mean by dalala here. Is this point clear? It says, ma lam yabtadi'u dalalan, as long as they have not invented any form of misguidance, we can now translate dalala. So the question is, what is the dalala that the Imam meant here? Ulama say the dalala that he meant, if you ask who said that, Shaykh Ubayd ibn Abdullah al-Jabiri said it. Shaykh Ali ibn Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Halabi said it. Amongst those that I know, others could have said it, but I know these two. That the dalala here means bid'atun mukaffiratun, a bid'ah that takes somebody out of Islam. What do we mean by that? There are some bid'ah like the one we were told to fast for 3 days. That doesn't take a person out of Islam. But there are some forms of bid'ah that take a person out of Islam. Give us an example. An example is in a case where about 23 or 24 companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam have reported the fact that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come back. Please let's listen properly. I have started this talk now. And there are verses in the Quran that also indicate that Isa alayhi salam will come back at the end of time. These ahadith are in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, like that. And the Muslims, the ulama of the Muslims are agreed that Isa alayhi salam will come back. If a person comes and says Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will not come back, that statement is a statement of innovation. And the ulama Al-Hafiz Al-Hakami considers that as from the aspect of bid'atun mukaffirah, a bid'ah that can make the individual to be a kafir. So it is dalala. But is it every person who says that we will point out and say he's kafir? Like the companion we gave an example, he had already made a statement of shirkko when he said Prophet and Allah. And Allah said, the messenger said, are you making me an equal with Allah? To make the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam an equal with Allah is what? A shirk, yes. The messenger did not say you are kafir or you are mushrik. So the same way that even if a person comes and says today that Isa alayhi salam will not come back, and we find that this individual essentially believes in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He believes in the messenger truly, and he follows the sunnah, but he has an issue here. He says Isa alayhi salam will not come back. And ordinarily, to say that Isa alayhi salam will not come back is a statement of kufur. So how do we do with him? We say we are not going to singly immediately call him and say, you kafir. We will not do that. And don't do that. So you ask, why did we not do that? We say we did not do that because somebody other uttered a statement of kufur in the time of the messenger too, alayhi salatu wasalam. He rather corrected him rather than declaring him what? Mushrik. It means our duty is also to look for a way of explaining the verses and the ahadith to those individuals. And not to say, just because they have made the statement, then they are kafir. I hope this point is clear. Nevertheless, that innovation in itself is an innovation that takes somebody out of Islam. Just like joining partners with Allah, even if it's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is something that can take somebody out of Islam. It means somebody who makes a statement of kufr or shirk, or performs an action of kufr or shirk, amongst the people that we know that they believe in Allah truly and the Messenger, but they are doing it because of particular misunderstanding of particular verses and ahadith. Our duty is to invite those people to explain the matter to them, like the Prophet did, alayhi salatu. Another example of a bid'atun mukaffira, a bid'ah from which the person can become a kafir or that makes people become kafir, is to claim to be a messenger, like Ghulam did. Ghulam came and said he's a messenger. He said it on his minbar, and he wrote books. He even claimed that he has another wahyu apart from the Quran. And that book is called Al-Barahin al-Muhammadiyya, the evidence of the Muhammad-based evidence, proofs. That is the name of his Quran, quote unquote. So in his view, Allah has revealed another book to mankind except apart from the Quran. Allah has sent another messenger apart from the Prophet, alayhi salam. This kind of a bid'ah is also bid'atun mukaffira. How? Because the ummah is agreed upon. The verses of the Quran, also about 19 to 20 companions reported that the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la nabiyya ba'di, no messenger will come after me. And there are verses in the Quran, about two or three, wherein Allah clearly stated that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is the last of all the prophets, the end of prophets and messengers. The ummah is agreed. This person now comes with something else. That would mean rejecting those verses of the Quran, rejecting those statements of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and rejecting the consensus of the Muslims. That person is starting another religion. That's why, after a lot of discussions with Ghulam, many of the people declare him as kuffar, as a kafir. Many of the people declare him as kafir. In fact, he made a mubahala. We know what a mubahala is. Mutual swearing. To invite your family, friends, everybody living under your care to the public. Part A will do that, part B will do that, and will curse, will swear and invoke the curse of Allah upon the person who is lying. It was done. And in less than 2 weeks, Ghulam Ahmad fell sick. He died of diarrhea inside the toilet. The other sheikh lived for over 10 to 15 years before he died. Less than 1 month, Allah disgraced and killed Ghulam Ahmad. By way of proving that he was the one on the wrong. So he rejected explanation. He rejected, you know, bayan. He rejected understanding after knowing the truth. So that bid'ah of claiming to be another prophet is one of these that the Imam said here, ma lam yabtadi'u dalala. As long as the Muslims have not started a bid'atu mukaffira, we are with them. We will hold back from declaring them as kafir. The only thing is that when they commit a sin, we will not join them in that sin. Otherwise, we are together. We are still brothers. Okay. Ma lam yabtadi'u dalala. He now says, "Famani mitada aminhum." I hope the matter is clear up to this point. What I want to do today is clarify, make simpler explanations from what we did in the last class. So the Imam says, فَمَنْ اِبْتَدَعَ مِنْهُمْ ضَلَالًا. Anyone who starts a bid'ah that is a bid'ah of kufr, he says, كَانَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ خَارِجًا. That kind of a person is rebelling against the rest of us. وَمِنَ الدِّينِ مَعْرِفًا. That kind of a person has started to take a 100-meter race out of the religion. Like those during the time of the companions, radiallahu anhu, who declared that Allah does not have a knowledge of what will happen tomorrow until it happens. Al-Qadariyatul Uwal. They say Allah does not know what will happen tomorrow unless it happens. Their leader was called Ma'bad al-Juhani from Basra. When Abdullah ibn Umar heard that, he told the people to tell Ma'bad that I am free from you, and you too, you are free from me. And tell him that whatever he spends for charity, no matter how huge, more huge and gigantic than the mountains, Allah will not accept it from him until he believes in what? Al-Qadr. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So we don't have anything together. This is وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا مَا لَمْ يَبْتَدِعُوا الضَّلَالَ فَمَنْ يَبْتَدَعَ مِنْهُمْ ضَلَالَ الْآنِ. This is ابْتِدَاءُ الضَّلَالَ. They started a thing of misguidance. So كَانَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ خَارِجًا. That kind of a person is rebelling against the rest of us. وَمِنَ الدِّينِ مَارِقًا. That kind of a person is running away, going out of the religion gradually, already moving out. So the Imam said, وَيُتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْهُ. The worship we are going to do in this circumstance is by doing what? By disconnecting from him, like Ibn Umar disconnected from those who deny the Qadr. Likewise, Abdullah ibn Abbas and the rest of the companions and Tabi'un. It was reported once that this Ma'bad al-Juhani, who started to say Allah does not have a knowledge of tomorrow, today, Allah doesn't know tomorrow. May Allah protect us. Once Ma'bad came to Makkah to make tawaf, as he was making tawaf, Al-Imam Tawus ibn Kaysan, he started to shout. He saw him. You are Ma'bad al-Juhani? He said, yes. He said, are you Hannas? Oh, people, run away from him. This is Ma'bad. He started sending the people away from Ma'bad al-Juhani. وَيُتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْهُ. Any person who starts a bid'atu mukaffira, the ibadah there is to do what? Al-bara'atu. When we see him, we run away. So that's why the Imam made that statement. He says again that وَيُهُجَارُ, he must be abandoned. وَيُفْتَقَرُ, he must be disgraced. What disgrace is more than people see you on the mataf, on the place of tawaf, and they are shouting, run away, this is Ma'bad with you. And he wasn't moved. You know people like that? He wasn't moved. Ma'bad wasn't moved. He wasn't moved. He was going on his way. He wasn't moved. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Aoun, amongst the people who started the bid'ah of i'tizal, amongst the Mu'tazila, the person who actually started it was Wasil ibn Ata' al-Ghazzal. Wasil ibn Ata' al-Ghazzal. He was the one who originated i'tizal. The Mu'tazila sect, they give preference to the intellect over the text of the Quran. So for example, if you tell them that the Messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam, if a fly flies into your food, dip the other side into it and then throw it away. At that time, there was no scientific discovery. Co? Were there or was there? There wasn't. So they will say, how sensible is this to dip a fly into my meal before I throw it away? Please go and see that. That is not hadith. We still have many Muslims thinking like that today. When the hadith does not, when their small intellect cannot understand the hadith, they say it's not hadith. It is their intellect that is small. Because those who are really sensible and intellectual, they will understand the hadith and explain it to them. But because of their own small perception and experience, they will say, how can this thing be hadith? I beg, tell me another thing. That is intellectual arrogance and opulence of our century. It's a generational mistake. It's a generational disease. And the Messenger has spoken about it, alayhi salatu wasalam, in another hadith, that one of the things that will happen in the end times is, يَحَسِبُ أَحَدُهُمْ أَنَّهُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Each person will be thinking that he's an intellectual. وَلَيْسَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. And the Messenger says, he doesn't know anything. We could go into that in another discussion, but let's leave that aside. So, one of them was Amr ibn Ubayd. This Amr ibn Ubayd, we know the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, hadith of Sadiq al-Masduq. When that hadith was, that is that by the 40th day, on the 120th day, Allah will send an angel to blow life into the first scope. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ. And the angel will tell or will be giving the order for four things. The angel will be giving the order to do four things. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. The angel will be giving the order to write the rizq. All the money you will spend in your life, it will be written, it will be documented there. May Allah protect us. وَأَجَلِهِ. Your lifetime, how long will it be? وَعَمَلِهِ. What kind of work will you be doing? وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. May Allah count us amongst Suada. It will also be written whether the person will be a successful person or a wretched person. So when Amr ibn Ubayd heard this hadith, he says, لَوْ لَكِيتُ النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. If I had met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَرَجَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ. I would have refuted him. When the ulama heard this from him, people like Muhammad ibn Aun, Amr ibn Ubayd was supposed to be a scholar of Lugha and Quran. Ma'bad al-Juhani was supposed to be a scholar of Lugha and Quran. In fact, Humayn al-Himyari, who came to report Ma'bad al-Juhani to Abdullah ibn Umar, was telling Abdullah ibn Umar that, look, these are scholars of Quran. Oh. If they read Quran, you will think you don't know how to read anything. Oh. Yet they are upon kufr and misguided. May Allah protect us. So, Muhammad ibn Aun warns the people not to go and learn from Amr ibn Ubayd. To the extent that not even one person would sit in front of Amr to learn from him. And when Amr was asked, why is it that people are not learning from you again? He said it was Muhammad ibn Aun. He was the one who told the people not to come to me again. Say why? He said, because of my position about bid'ah, about qadar, and about refuting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. وَيُتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْهُمْ. We are going to make ibadah with Allah by disconnecting from those kinds of people for two reasons or more. The first of them is so that they will have ihtikar inside their heart, disgrace, which can make them to leave what they are doing. Two is that, so that the generality of the people do not think that what they are doing is correct. So ulama, people like Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah say,
this is the same ruling we are going to give to somebody who commits a major sin that becomes public. If somebody commits a major sin that becomes public, everybody got aware. You heard that one affair is committing some fahisha with young girls. It was not secret. If it were secret, it would be treated like that. Because the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was like that with munafiqun. Munafiqun will show that they are Muslims. So it is this show that we will accept. When Ka'b ibn Malik and two others stayed back from the battle of Tabuk, there was one of the campaigns of the messenger to Tabuk, military campaign to Tabuk, alayhi salatu wa salam. Ka'b ibn Malik was an eminent companion, but he stayed back out of procrastination. Himself and two others. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam and the rest of the Muslims came back after a month, the journey took them 15 days through in the sun and without much money with them to take care of the journey. Yet they had to go for the sake of Allah subhanahu. But Ka'b ibn Malik was, I will go tomorrow. I will prepare. I will do this until the Prophet took off. He said when the Prophet took off, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was thinking in his mind that I will join them on the way. You know that's procrastination, cool? I will. Until the Prophet went, alayhi salatu wasalam, and came back. When they returned, the munafiqun, who didn't go with them, who were also supposed to go, they quickly came to the Prophet. Oh, Prophet of Allah, we want to come. It's our children. Is this? In fact, alhamdulillah, this battle, Allah has helped you. Allah, the Prophet, accepted their, what they said openly. They are munafiqun. But because they showed good, he accepted that good from them. But Ka'b, who was known to be good, he told the messenger, I say, oh messenger of Allah, I don't have excuse. Allahu Akbar. He said, if I lie to you that I have an excuse, Allah will reveal to you that I am lying. This is Iman. Munafiq was giving excuse that he did not have. Mu'min will say, I did. And that is following our grandfather Adam alayhi salam. When Adam sinned and ate the fruit, what did he say? Rabbana zalamna anfusana. And the munafiqun were behind shaitan. And those who, when they commit sins, they refuse to turn in repentance. They are like shaitan. Because for the same event that Adam was saying zalamna anfusana, when it came to the circumstance where shaitan should ask for forgiveness, after he was asked to bow down to Adam alayhi salam and he refused, he says, Fabima aguaitan. Now you make me go astray. So instead of accepting guilt and repenting, shaitan did not. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, when a human being commits a sin and ask Allah to forgive him sincerely, he is behaving like his forefather who? Adam. And when a human being commits a sin and is recalcitrant on the sin, not even looking for a way of turning away from the sin, he was instead high-headed and recalcitrant, insistent, he says such person is the follower of who? Shaitan. So Ka'b ibn Malik was a mu'min. He declared, "O messenger of Allah, I don't have excuse." As for the munafiqun, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, go, Allah has excuse, go. But Ka'b, on the spot, the Prophet gave an order, alayhi salatu wasalam, that we must abstain from them. So the Muslims boycotted them for 50 days. Ka'b said, my best friend, if I say salam alaikum to them, they will not answer me. To the extent that at about 30th day or so, their wives were asked to be withdrawn from them. Their wives. So when you wake up in the morning, nobody to talk to. You come to the mosque, you pray and go. Nobody will talk to you. How is that? Then Allah forgave them. Because they showed the signs of repentance. If we read very lengthy hadith, when you read that hadith, if you are not careful, you will cry for Ka'b ibn Malik. But he said something on that day, because Allah caused the munafiqun and told them he will burn them in the fire. Don't tempt it. While he forgave Ka'b. Ka'b was truthful, Allah forgave him. Those people were lying, Allah showed and disgraced them. But what do we want to use here from this hadith? The fact that because the sin of Ka'b ibn Malik became a widespread news, everybody got aware of what Ka'b ibn Malik had done, and the rest of the companions from amongst the people of Badr was amongst them. They ordered that they must be boycotted. So ulama say likewise, if a person commits a major sin and is a well-known person, and the sin becomes a thing of public knowledge, he must be boycotted until he turns away from that sin. It has the same ruling as the person who starts a bid'atun mukaffira. يُتَقَرَّبُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْهُ. I hope this point is understood. وَيُهْجَرُ. He will be boycotted. وَيُحْتَقَرُ. He will be downed. He will be considered lowly. Will not show him respect. Because when you show him respect, you'll be feeling that, hey, they respect me. They know. I want the grammar. You not show him respect. From that, it's perhaps he expects that this is a young brother. If he sees me, he will beat me. Just look the other way. Even so I say yes. Even you say yes. Even me. Until you turn away. Yuhtakar. وَتُجْتَنَبُ غُدَّتُهُ. His infection will be avoided. You'll be running away from his infection. Because it's an infection. It's a contagion, like they will say. It's a contagion. It infects. Dear brother, it is less than 10% of those who go and attend our well-known Ilekeu that don't fall guilty of issues of sihir and women. These two things, they have problems with it. Women and sihir. In fact, when they have the sihir, they use it against women to have evil with them. I was saying last week, a father told me his son is in the town, and that son wants to attend a madrasa. I don't know anybody in the town, around Lagos area. So I called somebody, I sent a mail to somebody whom I think know is from that town. Look, in your town, what madrasa can somebody attend or halqa? So the person said, I will ask my friend, a sister who is living in the town. So when the person sent the mail, she just forwarded the mail to me and said, there is a madrasa in the town, but the madrasa, there is free mixing of boys and girls, and women, girls are not safe in the madrasa. Such a madrasa should be avoided, and the people who coordinate that kind of a madrasa should be avoided. So when we have a madrasa around us where one of the girls in the madrasa will say, ah, there is not anyone amongst us except that the ustaz has told her that he wants evil with her. You go back to that madrasa. A student will say, oh, the ustaz said to me that there is dua, there is a prayer he wants to make for me, but he will need to put his hand on my navel first before he does the prayer. When I'm ready, I should come. So you said people should go back to that madrasa.
where one of the students will say, even me, one day he removed hijab on my head. I was shouting, his wife came. And then when the wife came, he said, I just want to see the clothes she's wearing under the hijab. You still say people should go back to that madrasa? And this individual, when he spoke to a contact arrogantly, I said, no, what are you people saying? People should fear Allah. What the Imam says, because one of the evils is that sustainable, this contagion must be avoided, because if you do not avoid it to spread amongst the students, they will think that after all, when they too they were in Ileke, the Afa used to do it. That is what they inherited from the Afa. And this is what they are passing down now to young people. In the name of Allah. Aisha. In the name of Allah. Passing down evil in the name of Allah. A parent trusts you and gives you his daughter. Take. Teach my daughter Quran. And then you come back and do this evil with the girl. And then you expect that we should keep quiet and say, okay, that's good. Because you are our friend. I think something is wrong with the heads of some people. And they do not appear to really understand this Islam. I'm aware and I'm sorry. You, most times, Yorubas, when issues come on the issues of deen, they bring Yorubanism instead of following strict sense the rules of the Sharia. They say, oh, like you have said anything. He wants to bring one way out. So this is what the Sharia says. The person says, I need someone now. When you hear them say this, I don't listen, I just stand up and go away. So you leave that and then this evil continues like that? It is not Islam. When a person has a bid'atun mukaffira or commits a sin that becomes widespread, you do not put it on, you do not sweep it, as they say, under the carpet. You make the person know that this person has so evil. In fact, you don't be a friend of that person. The Messenger said, alayhi salatu wassalam, ar-rajulu ala deeni khalilihi. A man is upon the deen of his friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِ. Let each of you look properly who is his friend. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, he says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ. This knowledge, you say you want to take, you want to learn Quran, you want to do this, it's the deen. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مِمَّنْ يَأْخُذْ دِينَهُ. Let each of you look properly. Who are you taking your religion from? Because the way the Afa is, that is the way the Omaleke will be. وَيَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْهُ. We seek nearness to Allah by disconnecting from such persons. وَيُهْجَى. We boycott them. وَيُفْتَقَى. We will not give them respect. We will avoid the kind of infection that they have. This matter is less than 3 months now, or these matters. But many of them happened years back. Recently, a brother was talking about something that happened 3 years ago. The same person. Yeah, not today or not, you know. Me, I don't know, since 3 years ago, with so person, so thing happened. So it's a contagion, it's an infection. Move away from it. It says, فَهِيَ أَعْدَى مِنْ غُدَّةِ الْجَرَبِ. If you don't move away, it is faster spreading. It spreads faster than scurvy. You know scurvy? On the skin. The doctors will understand better. It transfers. Once somebody has contact, he has the scurvy. So when you begin to see it, listen, the kind of disease those people have in their hearts will come to the hearts of those who sit in front of them. When a person teaches Islam, explains Islam, it is not only Islam that is explaining. He is explaining his own deen. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, was passing to the companions his own personality. So when you sit and get that, that is the kind of disease you carry along. He is carrying along one that he got. So you transfer. May Allah protect us. I hope this point is well understood. The Imam says, Al-imsaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla wal-bara'atu minhum fima ahdathu ma lam yabtadi'u dalala. Faman ibtada'a minhum dalala kana ala ahli al-qibla kharija wa min ad-dini mariqa wa yataqarrabu ila Allah azza wa jalla bil-bara'ati minhu wa yuhjar wa yuhtaqar wa tujtanabu guddatuhu fahiya a'da min guddatil jarb. I hope this point is understood. Let's ask questions now, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Perhaps you should take those questions one after the other. Let me mention that last week, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that the companions are agreed. Long before him, Al-Imam Abu Muhammad al-Khattabi, the first person to do a sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, he also said, all the companions are agreed. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, naqalahu wa aqarrahu. He quoted it and affirmed it in Fathul Bari. So three, say that the companions did not declare the Khawarij as kuffar. But there are reports from, I think, Miqdam or Miqdad ibn Ma'di Karib, one of the companions, that he made a statement that appeared as if he was declaring them as non-Muslims. That statement, as I remember now, is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. And what from which he made that statement are some statements made by the Prophet Muhammad when he says that يَمُرُكُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمُرُكُ السَّحْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَةِ. They will go out of the religion. Others amongst the ulama say that يَمُرُكُون means they will be walking fast. It does not mean they have already walked fast the deen. If you fire an arrow, it is not the moment you fire it that it goes out of the target. If you fire an arrow, there is time T. Before it moves, it's T0, Abi. Between the time that it reaches, between the time it leaves the bow and it gets to the object, that this distance S1, S2, it will be time T0 towards time T1 or T1 and T2. This time, this movement, it is still Yamuruk. So it is still going out. It has not gone out. So the Prophet is saying that Yamurukun, which is Filul Mubari, Lil Hazir wal Mustaqbal, for now and the future, is still applicable, that they are just going out. If you say, why then do we say that they are just going out? You say, because even Ali radiallahu anhu did not say they are kuffar, like he did with people like Abdullah ibn Sabah, As-Saba'iyya are the followers of a man called Abdullah ibn Sabah. They refer to Ali as Allah. Ali gathered them and burnt them with fire. Say, you people are kuffar, we will kill you. May Allah protect us. He did not do that with respect to the Khawarij. But this statement was understood, as some of the ulama say, by Ibn Mahdi Karib, to say, make that statement, even when what he has said itself
could be giving an explanation to mean that he was not actually saying that they are kuffar. And that, I think, is what people like Ibn Taymiyyah did, Rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Khattabi, and others who have worked on this matter. All that, another explanation for that is that, like Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, and people like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, to say there's ijma on a mas'ala does not mean that you may not find one, two person who will have a different opinion. To say there's an ijma, it doesn't mean you may not find somebody have an opinion. And yet, ulama will still be making naqlul ijma. So that is the second explanation that they have given regarding that. Allahu Akbar. I hope it is clear. Ameen. Maybe we should answer that question too. Okay. Connect them.
So, when we have a situation whereby we see an apartment in a certain location, or probably a video, there was one run out to be a worship of moving in this room. And giving the explanation, or probably putting that apart, and giving the final view that the people in the room was still denied, and putting the Shabbat of the Shuwa. So, how can one be
what extent of love should we have for our teacher? Ulama say the love between a child and the father or mother. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions one day, he says, and Al-Imam al-Nasa'i reported this hadith in As-Sunan al-Kubra, he said, Ana ala manzilati abuwaikum uadjibukum. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, I am in the status of your parents. Why? Uadjibukum. Because I teach you, I discipline you, I coach you, I'm nurturing you. So the ulama say that is the place of a learned person before the person that he teaches. Because the Prophet says, I'm in the status of your parents. Why? Because I'm teaching you. So we have the same love. So the same way that when our parents do things that go against the injunctions of Allah, we don't join them because we love them, do we? Likewise, if the teacher makes us try to do something that is clearly against Allah's injunctions, we don't join him. Same ruling. We do not allow Allah, because it is Allah that commanded us to love them. So in the circumstance that Allah has commanded us to love them, we should love them. Regarding the issues where he commanded us not to obey them, we should not obey them. As strict as the Sharia is regarding obedience to leadership, yes, it says, La إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. Obedience is with regard to his ordering you regarding something that is correct in the Sharia. If the ruler says, stop praying, will you stop praying? Even if it is that you sit down like this and you are praying, making ima'ah, you do it. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he was in prison in the Al-Qal'a prison, a woman was set loose in nudity to meet him. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. When he came out, they were asking him, what about the woman that was sent? Hey, you sent a woman? I didn't even know. So, does the person now find excuse to say, oh, now leader, send them now? إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. Because the ruler understood that once they spoil your deen, the connection between you and Allah is destroyed so they can capture you. And that is what some of the people who teach people do now. They spoil the deen of the student. They introduce him to do some things which they will know and hide. So that when they do some things, the students will come out and you say, you don't do this one day.
This is something we have seen. You not pay it till you do this one. So the secrets will be covered. One of the women in this matter said to me, that Ustaz, they said I must not reveal it. That it is not proper that a Muslim reveals the secret of another Muslim. I said not here. Because if you don't reveal it, as you trusted him, and then he misbehaved, that is how we will be trusting and bringing our daughters to the man, and he will be misbehaving and destroying the future of young girls. There is something that young girls never forget. A woman once told me, she's married now with 2 or 3 children, that there is something that worries her mind that she cannot forgive men. She almost thought that she will never marry because of the evil a man did to her. She said when she was young in the nursery school age, she was going to school, the bus conductor was, you know, touching her with his hand. She said, I was small, but I knew what he was doing and I could not challenge him. She said, when I grew up, it became a problem to me. Psychologically, women suffer from this a lot. How about a woman that a man goes and pulls hijab off her head? 14-year-old girl. How is that? Or the one in SS2, they say, oh, come, I will do dua for you. And similar other things. Those things don't leave the psychology of girls. They think of it. And for some of them, if you interview, may Allah protect us. If you read the interviews of prostitutes, many of them went into prostitution because of frustration from this aspect of life. You need to read some things that feminists have mentioned about things like this. They really worry me, women. So when a person becomes like this, don't say you love him. The love for him is a love for fisk. Love for a man like this, over this, is a love for fisk. More so that the entire community now know him. Were they not saying that some Baba Agbalagbatu will tell Happy Matipe? So Baba Agbalagbatu wants him Matipe and they were watching. So when some of us go and say, oh, Ustaz, how are you? We are greeting ourselves. They are looking at us like accomplices. People should know what they are doing. They should be sensible. Why are you learning Quran? You are learning Quran just to make a scam of huruf? Just to be able to say, so. That is not the reason why Allah revealed Quran. Allah revealed the Quran to be guidance, to be followed. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This is the reason why Allah revealed the Quran. So if a man can say, obviously, and after that you see him in this evil, you say, it is the Quran. No. The Quran has not done the job that it should do with him. So when you join him, you'll be like that. May Allah protect us. It's a very big evil and fitna. There is the other aspect of the brother's question. What if when the man denied, I did not, how do we know that he was lying? We say 2 ways. One, the Sharia says, al-qawlu qawlu al-mar'a. What we will depend on is what the woman says. And there's hadith on it. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam, a woman was going to perform salatu subh. One man grabbed her, pulled her on the ground, and had evil with her. The woman started crying. A man was passing by, saw her. Hey, you woman, what's wrong with you? Say, one man, he pulled me down. He covered me with his clothes, and then he did evil with me. Where is he? He just passed here. The man followed. As he went, so we have man one, man two. Man one committed evil, Adi. Man two was following. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. The hadith also occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Man two followed. Then there were a group of people also going to the mosque. They passed by the same road and saw the woman. What are you doing? Say, oh, woman, he just grabbed me, knocked me on the ground, and then he committed evil. Where is he passed like this? When those people ran behind, they got man two. Man one had gone. They brought man two to the Prophet Muhammad. They asked the woman, what happened? Say, yes, he's the one, he's the one, he's the one. Man two. Man two. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, izhabu bihi farjumu. Go with this man and do what? And stone him. The man who was a nobi, he said, go and stone the man. Man one, meanwhile, had sought repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had bettered his Islam, regretting after the evil that he did. And now, how we pray behind the Prophet after this evil? He sought repentance. He bettered his deen. He was there. When he heard that they should go with man one and stone man one to death, he sought man two and stone man two to death. He says, Ana huwa ya Rasulallah. Al Imam Ibn Qayyim al Jawziya in I'lam al Muwaqqi'in, he said, this is evidence that Allah really accepted the repentance of the man to the extent that he was ready to be stoned rather than that his brother be stoned. He had been so purified that he was ready to accept guilt, to be punished for it, rather than his brother being punished. He says, Ana huwa ya Rasulallah. I was the one that committed it to the Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet told the woman to go, and told man two to go, and told man one to go. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But our point of reference from the hadith is that, despite the fact that man two was saying, not be me, not be me, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, izhabu bihi farjumu. Go with him, go and stone him. Secondly, the other aspect of not accepting the rejection the person is rejecting is that this information is not, this matter is not from a single person. I have five women who have made this statement. Five. He's just denying one. There are four others. How do you do that? He's denying one. And there are four others. And the one he's denying is not denying the sin. He is just saying, Eshemi Jeje in it. So what is the matter? This one says, that's what he do to me too. This one says, that's what he do to me too. This one says, hey, don't do that to you too. Okay, that's what he do to me. So where's the rejection? Each of them has a right that we believe them, isn't it? And let me tell you, the women we have are very chaste people. I'm sure perhaps some of them kept what happened to them. They could not say it at that time because they are shy. Hey, I will take say this one now. But what happened? Oh, he did that. He did that to me too. It is not easy for a woman to acknowledge that. When she acknowledges it, believe it. When a woman is involved in fahisha with a man and thoughts become public, the best of what the woman will say is that she will be crying. Oh, oh, publicly, if the matter becomes public. But when the woman is saying, no, you are wrong, may Allah punish you, may Allah do this for you, you did this, you did this, you did this, and you want to believe the man and leave the woman? Like that for woman one, woman two, woman three, woman four, woman five, they are online. When there is no possibility that they sat in a gathering to agree to that lie, it is his statement that is sharp. Sharp. From those two angles. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum as-salam. You just do your own and go away. in a mosque, people are making azka, la 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 la. Just do your own and go. Alaykum salam. Ah. Go back to Fathul Bari of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. Fathul Bari of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, that hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, is hadith of Abu Hurairah. Likewise, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Al-Imam al-Nawawi was giving a similar explanation to that of Hafiz ibn Hajar, which was what we gave. That was also the explanation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in Majmu' Fatawa. Last week, all those books were here. You were in my boot. I was waiting for somebody who say, oh, where is it? Say, oh, bring it. Read it. Ibn Taymiyyah said that in two places. He said it in Majmu' Fatawa. He also said it in Minhaj Sunnah. So these are the three I can quickly refer to now and the references. And Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al Urayy, he has a sharh of Nawaqid al-Islam that we read. One of the issues he discussed at the Muqaddimah of that book, where he gathered all these statements, but you go back to the source. He discussed this hadith too, and others relating to it. He brought all these statements from the different scholars. That book too is also available, inshallah. Alaykum salam. That is the sharh of Kitab of Nawaqid al-Islam by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al Rayy. He's still alive, he's in Riyadh. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam. Somebody is speaking here already, brother. Now, Bismillah. You say what? It what? Yes. A man gets married to a woman, yes. She had lied to be an AA, or she mistakenly said she was AA. There is a difference between the two. So what's the issue? What's the question? Okay. Firstly, and brothers, that is how it is. A man can divorce his wife. He can separate from her for so many reasons. So, if the problem is SSSS, and the man says, no, we have to separate. If I had known, I would have run away. Don't abuse the man. Although we will encourage him to keep his family. And we will encourage him that Allah has other fitna. If you run for the fitna of SS, Allah has fitna of ZZ. So we will encourage him to keep his wife. We will tell him that each time he spends on the wife that is sick, the wife, you will be getting rewards, or the child that is SS, you'll be getting rewarded, and all this will be encouraging. But at the end of the day, say, no, I know we'll agree. Now make it, we separate. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. That is why I always encourage women that don't be in a haste. Be patient that your husband marries you from your parents. So that if anything happens, you can easily go back to your parents. But if you have done that from the very beginning, when this kind of a thing happens, where do you go back to? May Allah protect us. And every marriage, whether we like it or not, women will either be widows or divorcees. You are either a widow till death do us apart, or in this world, life decisions will do you apart. So in every situation, a woman is either a widow or a divorcee. Think of it. There is no third to it. So that's why we must be more patient with life and take precautions. Madhahibul ishtiyafiyya. Ulama refer to things like that are positions of safety, precaution, where we take decisions. May Allah protect us. If we are already in the situation, be nice and try to mend fences with your in-laws. It's never too late. Secondly, can they now decide to be terminating pregnancies just because of that? The fatwa I have read about things like this is that it is not allowed. It is very strongly discouraged before 120 days, and it is prohibited after 120 days. Because what they will be doing is they will be committing murder. And this test cannot be performed until after 120 days when life has been blown into that body. So it means what they will be doing is something that is entirely predicted. Why? Because Allah has predicted taking life. And after 120 days, life would have been blown into the body. So why take somebody else's life? Some say because you want to save the life of the mother. We say in this case, the life of the mother is not engaged. It's not endangered. Even though some of the ulama say even when the life of the woman is endangered, you cannot say exactly whose life will go. A woman's life may be endangered, yet Allah will save her, save the child. A child's life may be endangered, Allah will save the child and take the mother. I have seen all of that. So that's why they say from after 120 days, it is prohibited to abort any pregnancy and destroy any fetus. Allahu Akbar. Now, last question, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. Today, you will ask. Now, just hold on. Now, when I said the last question to you, your question is based on salah. Okay, bismillah. Second jama'ah, is it permitted? Gather together how? To pray. Well, what he means by second jama'ah is in a masjid, people have finished praying, another group of people come to pray the same salah like Zuhr. The correct opinion, inshallah, is that it is not allowed. But it can happen when you have not planned it. Like you are praying, somebody comes and joins you, you cannot elbow the person. You have to pray your own and go, and this is second jama'ah. Allahu a'lam. Let me stop it at that. It's a very dicey issue too. After salah, people now gather and say, Alam, Antan, Salam. Is that what you mean? It is wrong in two angles. Angle one, it is prohibited to be hymning azkar. You know hymning? Chorusing, saying with a single voice. It's not allowed, except in some circumstances, and even at that, it is not allowed to be saying it all with a single voice, but it is allowed to say it out and raise your voice. And that is the talbiyah of Hajj. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. It is allowed to say it aloud. The louder the better. Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhuma, when we leave Dhul Hulayfa, before we get to Makkah, we have lost our voice. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, atani atin min rabbi. An angel came to me from my Lord. Fa'amarani an a'mura ashabi an yarfa'u aswatahum bitalbiya. An angel came to me from my Lord and commanded me that I should command my companions that they should raise their voice with saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And he said in another hadith that, when you say labbaik Allahumma labbaik loudly, every stone every pebble of sand that hears you will testify for you on the day of Qiyamah. So because of that, the companions, they shout, men, women. So in that circumstance, raising our voices for Adhkar is what? Allowed. Even though hymning it is a single voice, it's not allowed. Except when you have people who don't know it. The teacher will be saying it, and the rest of them will be reading after him, as Al-Imam Shafi'i has said, and others have followed. But to say, in the mosque, Allah, Manta, Salah, we are reading together, Rabbi Najini, wa Ali, and all this, it is not allowed. Allahu A'lam. Now, last question, inshallah. Alaykum As-Salaam. As regards, who does what? What do you mean by prayer? Salat or dua? Okay. Some sort of what? Boycott, you mean? Do not boycott that imam if he has not started committing a major sin that is popular or committing a bid'ah that is kufuriyah, mukaffira. Do you understand? Don't boycott the imam until he is committing an innovation that its consequence is kufur. Otherwise, if he's just committing some little bid'ah, the only thing you will do is, at the time that he's committing those bid'ah in the masjid, you will not join him. You understand? It will be the first level of boycott. The second level of boycott will not happen until it is bid'ah to mukaffira, or it is regarding kabira, yani zahira, a major thing that became popular. Do you understand? You've not asked the question. What is the question? Just go on, don't worry, ask the question. He's not a PhD student. Doctor, he's not a PhD student. Let's be patient so that he can express himself. Now, should people be patient with the imam in the circumstance that they fear that he may orchestrate them in the masajid or in the masjid and cause more harm to them? Should they, because of that, not, you know, leave aside boycotting him? Is that what you mean? Something like that. Okay, we'll answer it and you take the ruling from that. So, don't forget, there are two levels of abandoned boycott. Boycotting the thing itself, and the bid'ah itself, when they are committing the bid'ah, or boycotting the place where they commit that bid'ah, or boycotting the people who are committing that bid'ah at the time that they are committing the bid'ah. Stage one. Stage two is to boycott that person, whether he's committing that bid'ah or not. You cut him off. This one should not happen except if it's a bid'ah tun mukaffira. The other one can happen with any bid'ah or anything. Nevertheless, we explained that last week too. If the person you are going to boycott does not care, in fact, when you boycott him, he will say, well done. He will now start doing those things more. He's not doing it, popularizing it, and doing all that because we have not boycotted him. We are the Afati and Afati and you allow all kind of people. Tell this Afati, they are disturbing us. They didn't allow us to do what we want to do. Don't leave those kind of people. Do you understand? Because the maslaha is that when you leave them, they will be worse. Like the Prophet did not leave the munafiqun. So you don't leave them. And you don't boycott them. Also, the bid'ah you are describing does not appear to be a bid'atun mukaffira. So you don't have a ground to leave him. We stop here, inshallah, ikhwah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha